Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest is New Britain's former mayor, Republican Aaron Stewart, who has recently announced that she is running for governor in 2026. She's now a Republican gubernatorial candidate, and we're going to have a conversation with her on Face Connecticut today about her campaign, about some of the key issues facing Connecticut, and some of the key issues that she's looking to tackle if she were to be elected governor next year. And it's almost 2026. Can you believe it, Mayor?
I can't believe it. This year has flown by, but I'm excited for what's coming in the new year.
Definitely a lot of changes, and good to have you on the program. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, always a pleasure. It's been a while, so I'm happy to be back.
Look, a lot of people know who you are, but the truth is that there are people who moved to Connecticut. There are people who are in other parts of the state that maybe are not too familiar with you. So let's start here. How would you introduce yourself to a voter who might not be too familiar with who Aaron Stewart is and has been as mayor in New Britain?
Oh, great question. You know, I will tell everybody that, you know, hi, I'm Aaron Stewart. I was elected mayor at 26 years old, where I served the city of New Britain, an urban center in the state of Connecticut, for 12 years as a Republican, which is pretty rare to find a Republican that has served six terms and won each election with more votes than the last here in Connecticut, where Democrats severely outnumber Republicans, that's for sure. But I had an incredible career as mayor of the city, where I inherited a $30 million operating deficit when I became mayor of New Britain. And when I left, just this past November, I left it with a $34 million surplus and a recent bond rating upgrades from all of the nationwide agencies. So I, you know, spent a lot of time focusing on city's finances, on making sure that our tax dollars were being spent appropriately, but also while caring for those in our community who needed it the most. One of the biggest projects that I undertook as mayor was the creation of a program called New Britain Recovers, which really aims to give people a hand up when they need it, not necessarily a handout, and leads people to help who have been experiencing homelessness or substance use issues, things of that nature. But in addition to that, anybody who's lived in my city for the last decade or so will tell you that the amount of work that we've been able to do with building up our community and bringing in new economic development and jobs and housing opportunities is on full display. The New Britain that we see today is not the New Britain that it was a decade ago. And I believe that that is due to my work. And that's the type of energy and work that I want to bring to the state of Connecticut as our next governor.
If you tout all of your successes and all of your time, your six terms as mayor, you look at six successful reelections, as you pointed out, as a Republican in what is really a deep blue and what has become a very deep blue state, one might wonder, why give it up? Why move on to something new? So why are you looking to run for governor?
I get that question a lot. I had a lot of people that said to me, why are you not running again? Can't you just be mayor forever? No, you can't. I am a believer in term limits. I don't believe that any one person should be in a position for that long. And, you know, after 12 years, after six terms, listen, it was absolutely time to give someone else a chance and give someone else a shot. And I was very sad to go. My heart will always be in New Britain, but I know that I've got a greater calling here, and I definitely want to bring my talents to our state where I think they can be incredibly helpful for a state right now that is struggling.
What do you think about the field for governor, the race for 2026? You know, looking at the candidates now, who is confirmed, you have Republican Ryan Fazio, Democrat Ned Lamont, who is the incumbent governor seeking a third term, Progressive Democratic State Representative Josh Elliott. There's been word this past week that former New York Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy of Greenwich, a Republican, she might be possibly looking to enter the race. She's at least been increasing her political rhetoric and commentary, so that might be a suggestion she's interested. Do you think that this is a crowded field, that you have a lot of competition for next year?
Well, it'll be very interesting to be the only person in the race not from Greenwich. but I think, you know, I don't view this as a crowded field, especially not what I went through in 2018, where, like I said, there was dozens of candidates running. So, no, I don't think it's a crowded field. I think it's to be expected. You know, I think that it's not surprising that Governor Lamont has a challenge from within his own party. I think we have seen that one brewing, and we've seen that one coming for quite some time, especially as, you know, the party goes further to the left. And as for the Republicans, I don't think it's unanticipated that there would be multiple. Let's just say I never expected that I would walk into this without a challenge. I think that's just a given. So, listen, I'm looking forward to it, though. I know on behalf of the Republican Party that I've got what it takes to win, and I know that I have what it takes to win statewide. And I'm interested in bringing home a big W for the Republican Party this coming November. It's something we haven't had in a long time.
As far as Betsy McCoy, you know, we'll kind of just suggest that she might be interested, that her name's been thrown around here. But who is confirmed right now? You and Republican Ryan Fazio. So what are your thoughts on the state senator, Ryan Fazio, because he's been traveling around the state and other Republican senators have endorsed him, done events with him. So what do you think about the competition with him?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Listen, one thing that makes me very different from Ryan, and I don't know him very well, to be honest with you. I don't know him well at all. One thing that makes me very different from him is that I am an outsider when it comes to Hartford politics. So it's not surprising that he has the support of his fellow caucus mates in the Senate Republican caucus. I would think that that would be expected, but I'm okay with that. The only endorsement I need is from the people. And I truly am, you know, the outsider in this race. Even though I've been elected as a mayor, I'm not part of what goes on in that building. And I think that everybody should be happy to have somebody who's not a part of the monstrosity that happens at the state capitol on a daily basis being in this race.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's Face Connecticut if you're just joining us. And on Face Connecticut, we are speaking with Republican Aaron Stewart, former mayor of New Britain, talking about her gubernatorial campaign for 2026. And I wanted to talk about another competitor that you're facing and also kind of drawing on what you said. You're not a Hartford insider in that you haven't been at the state capitol as a legislator or haven't been governor yet, at least. And so if I'm looking at you as mayor, right, there are opportunities and there are times when you're mayor and you do end up having to work with state lawmakers or the governor. I'm thinking back to an event that you had earlier this year on housing, and Governor Lamont was there and you were there, and it's kind of awkward to see that knowing that you're running against him. But I'm curious, you know, from your standpoint as former mayor, having had to work at times at the state level to advocate for New Britain, what are your experiences and how is that shaping your campaign?
They have been so difficult, Morgan. And another reason of what kind of fuels my fire to run is because working with the state has been difficult on many levels. You have to compete. You have to constantly be up there making phone calls, making connections just to get a dollar for anything that you want to see happen in your community. And listen, I've been very lucky that I've been able to develop and leverage good relationships with people there that have helped make a lot of these projects happen for me when I was mayor. But it shouldn't have to be that way. You know, the state, they go and they create all these slush fund programs and they basically, you know, whether it's the legislature or the governor, they give them to their friends. And I always felt like I was, you know, the token Republican that they would just, you know, give the scraps to. And I had to make do with whatever I could get. But at the same time, too, what became evidently clear to me was that the people that are up there making the decisions on behalf of our communities have no idea how the bills that they pass are a problem for municipalities to implement. You know, oftentimes they pass these unfunded mandates down to us where cities and towns are really strapped to try to figure out how to make it work because laws are passed by people who never even thought to call a municipal leader or a local leader and ask them, hey, how would this work for you? So that is one of the biggest reasons why I was constantly just hitting roadblock after roadblock with certain developments and projects that we wanted to get done in the city of New Britain. And I kept saying to myself, gosh, something's got to change. Something has to give. How is it that nobody understands, you know, the impact that this is having? And it's just because of their disconnect with the real working people and working class people in the state.
Let's talk a little bit about specific issues facing Connecticut and that no doubt will be...
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Be part of your campaign, probably at the top of the list, electricity. And it's an issue that your competitor, Senator Ryan Fazio, has brought up a lot. The Democrats have been trying to find a way to tackle it. And yet, nobody seems to have either a golden solution or one that has totally passed and has caused considerable reform. They tried last legislative session. They got $12 off the bill on average, and residents across the state are saying that that's not enough. What do you have to say about this issue?
Isn't that insulting? You know, it was, gosh, I want to say summer of 2024. I put together, as if, for those of you listening, you might know, I have a pretty... I have a pretty robust social media presence, and I'm always making little videos about issues here and there. And it was summer of 2024 that I got my electricity bill with the rest of us, and I opened it up, and I had that, you know, that almost WTF moment where I'm looking at the public benefits charge, I'm looking at everything broken out and going, what is this? Why am I paying so much more? What the heck is going on? So I put a video out there in 2024 after you know, trying to explain to everybody what it was, why it was happening, and why I thought it was bad. You would think that over a year later that there would be some type of action that was taken to rectify the situation. Instead, we've been met with just hurdle after hurdle of almost making it worse. And then on top of that, just this past month, we find out that Eversource is going back to Pura to ask for another rate increase on behalf of the ratepayers. And, you know, it's just like kicking people when they're down. I want to talk about not being responsive to what people are asking for. People are asking for the public benefits charge to go away, to be taken off of the bills. How come that wasn't a huge discussion? Why wasn't there something that was voted on? We continue hearing that there is surplus after surplus and we have so much money. Well, if we have so much money in the state coffers, then why aren't we doing anything to bring real relief to Connecticut working families? And that's the crux of where I come from here and what I'm interested in talking about on this campaign is what are we doing to make life easier and more affordable for Connecticut's families? Our energy costs are through the roof. There's no doubt about it. We know that Connecticut has one of the highest energy costs in the nation. And a lot of that is because we just don't have the production and the supply that we need. Well, what are we doing to increase the supply? Because let me tell you, Morgan, wind things off of Long Island Sound, their turbines are not going to generate enough energy to power our state in the way that we need it to lower our bills. We've got to be talking about expanding the gas pipeline. We've got to be talking about looking at expanded nuclear power options. Instead, we run in circles because, you know, we've got all these other issues that are happening with, you know, the public, with Pura, and that whole other problem that happened with Marissa Gillette, and then she was forced to resign, and then there wasn't even anybody on the board that regulates our rates. You want to talk about just a mess after a mess after a mess. I mean, somebody's got to get in there and clean it up and take a hard stance and say, no, we need real relief. We need it now, and we need people in here that are looking at how to increase our supply so that we can lower the rates. And Eversource has to be a part of this discussion and has to be at the table and a willing partner for it all, too.
Housing. What's your read on all of the majority Democrats who say that Connecticut has a housing crisis? Because I think that you have a different perspective on this. What would you say to the issue of expensive housing in Connecticut?
Very much so. So when I was on WTIC a few weeks ago, I talked about this because we discussed, you know, the recent housing bill that was passed in the darkness of night and underneath quote unquote emergency pretenses. We talked about the Connecticut's housing crisis that everybody's talking about. But as a mayor and somebody who has put up a lot of housing in her community, and somebody who I have been a big proponent of adding additional housing in my community, affordable housing at that, I have never seen anybody say to me good solid proof with data that Connecticut actually has a housing crisis. I have not seen any firm proof that shows that we have too many people and not enough apartments or houses to fill the people that we have. And I've asked for this multiple times. So as you're telling me, you know, or the state government is telling me that I need to add more housing that I might not necessarily want in my community, which I also think is a terrible thing. Where is the proof that I need, that I actually need to be adding these units? Now, I looked at this from a very different perspective because I've been the leader of an urban community. An urban community that I know, I've got landlords, a lot of owner-occupied units, people who need help making improvements to their own homes that they've lived in for 30, 40 years. This housing bill that was passed does nothing to assist current homeowners with making improvements to their multifamily homes. It does nothing to assist small town landlords with opportunities to upgrade what they have, what they already have, to make it more inviting for new families to move in. That's a huge piece of this. If you look at any of our urban areas, you know, across our state, you have so many small, three and four family, five family houses that are owned by people that live in our communities. Why haven't we done anything to give them an opportunity to increase their housing stock? Instead of building more of these small closet style units that I can't even imagine somebody wants to live in. And then the state makes it so that no development happens without any type of state input or state financing. I saw that firsthand. There's no incentives, you know, here for real development. It's all subsidized by the state. They're literally controlling every piece of housing that's going into our communities. And I think that is so, it's terrible for our communities because you're taking away local control and you're taking away the identity of a lot of towns too. And I think that that's very frustrating for many people.
Let's talk a little bit about the state budget and issues related to it. We saw that this past legislative session, in trying to plan for the next two-year budget, majority Democrats couldn't agree on a number of aspects related to the budget, one of them being how large the surplus is and how much money would be spent to backfill federal cuts, and at what point in time will that spending take effect, or will they tap into those reserves to backfill federal spending cuts. What are your thoughts on the budget in Connecticut as of today?
It's always going to be, a battle, especially as you start to see, the far left of the party, of the Democratic Party, get into these constant arguments with the more, I'll say, moderate Democrats, if you will. And the fact of the matter is that, gosh, over what, 90% of the state budget is already fixed. So you're fighting over such a small portion of the state budget, but this is a fight over priorities. It's a fight over what, you know, certain people in the parties think should be a priority over others. I will tell you this, though, from looking at it again from the outside in, you're seeing these articles and headline after headline about how much extra money we have. Oh, Connecticut's just flush with cash. Okay, well then why isn't the conversation happening around lowering taxes for people? That's something that I want to talk about. That's something that I think needs to be talked about. Instead of figuring out how to spend the money that we have on more things, give it back to the hardworking people here who are struggling to pay their energy bills, to pay their grocery bills, to pay their taxes.
Let's talk about transportation, another issue that we hear about from listeners at WTIC, in that people are frustrated with the state's aging infrastructure, be it highways, rail, or whatever else, that in many instances they're sitting in traffic for a long time, where the train takes too long. Interestingly, down in Stamford, it's interesting that they're trying to poach businesses away from New York. In fact, I attended a seminar recently in Stamford where Mayor Caroline Simmons, who was just reelected, talked about how they have an ad campaign to try to attract businesses who might not be happy with either the cost of Manhattan, for example, or the politics that are in Manhattan. In any case, they're suggesting that Stamford is a place to move to. But it was a problem for Mayor Simmons in the election last cycle because her opponent was asking the question, basically, can we have another 10,000 vehicles in Stamford? People living there, people driving there, commuting there. And so this issue is something that has popped up across Connecticut. Conversely, Windham County, where there is barely any public transportation. What do we do about Connecticut's aging transportation?
Well, you're also looking at a special transportation fund that has less and less money in it on an annual basis, too. So that eats into it. But again, this is where I talk about priorities. And any time we get through a budget or go through a budget cycle, it's an opportunity for the governor, per se, to outline his or her priorities on what they think needs to be funded. And Connecticut has no shortage of problems. But transportation is always at the top of the list here, because what is it? It's what people are impacted by the most. The travel times, the potholes on the roads, the bridges that are crumbling, you know, the constant road work that seems to be happening in the same places year after year, but yet not moving to other places that need it. That is the opportunity, for the governor and the legislature to come out with their list of priorities. I'm not sure that the Department of Transportation has been held up to the highest standard in creating and implementing massive statewide upgrade plans for roads, for bridges. These are things that should be talked about with public input. I have to definitely stress that part, with public input, not done in a silo or in a vacuum. And every time transportation is talked about, it is always, the fight between what's happening with Fairfield County and the rail versus what's happening with, let's say, the bus system or the light rail and the Hartford line and the other parts of the state. The state has made significant investments over the years in public transportation options that then have gone, kind of uncared for. I look at the Fast Track, Connecticut Fast Track, as one of a very good example of that. We spent a lot of money on the Fast Track, on this bus rapid transit system, with the expectation that it would be expanded and upgraded and eventually be a link to get to Bradley International Airport. There's been no movement. That opened in 2015. And instead, it's just, while it has its uses, don't get me wrong, there are people that utilize it, there's been no talk about how to finish what they started. And I think that's a problem too, that we see is our transportation systems, we always start things and then never finish it. Can we just finish the job?
Another issue that has come up a lot, both Republicans and Democrats in the state have been arguing the continued need, even the need to increase transparency in Connecticut's state government at all levels, at all agencies. Now, in New Britain, it would seem to me, and many people who are familiar with you as mayor or in your community, you were often the face of many citywide initiatives that you were involved in your communications team. What would you bring to the state of Connecticut at the statewide level? How would you structure communication, transparency at what is a much larger government structure?
I think this might be one of the reasons why people are very intimidated by me, because I have never hesitated to communicate with the public. I never hesitate to take to Facebook Live or social mediums to talk about an issue with people and respond to the public back and forth in the comment section. Hartford desperately needs transparency and accountability. We look at the recent scandals alone that we've seen and we've read about, the school construction chief, Costas and his convictions. Then you've got, like I talked about, the energy regulator that was forced to resign. Then we saw what happened with the CSCU, the chancellor abusing taxpayer funds. I think the bigger story here, though, is what that reveals is a culture that is in existence in our state government that's of entitlement. It's flourished underneath the last 16 years of one-party rule.
Well, I appreciate your time. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Morgan.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.